listening to Awaken to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Your host, Jeff Fish, is a Christian social media influencer, the author of 30 Days of Patience, and a passionate teacher of God's Word. After years of feeling spiritually asleep, Jeff experienced a powerful awakening that transformed his faith and revealed his calling to share the gospel and equip others to walk fully in God's light. This week, Jeff explores the final fruit of the Spirit, self-control. In a world driven by impulse, emotion, and instant gratification, self-control is not just a discipline, it's a supernatural power. Today, we begin by uncovering the true nature of Spirit-empowered self-control. Our key verse for today is Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control. Now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Awaken to Deliver. Here we are. We finally made it to the last week of our journey through the fruit of the Spirit, and we're closing it out with a fruit that is often overlooked, but absolutely essential, and that is self-control. It's fitting that self-control is the final fruit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, because in many ways, it's the gatekeeper. It's the fruit that holds the others together. Because without self-control, love becomes lust, joy becomes indulgence, and peace becomes apathy. And kindness can even become manipulation. Self-control is what ensures that we're not led by the flesh, but governed by the Spirit. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, "Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control." Think about that. In biblical times, a city without walls was utterly vulnerable. Enemies could rush in. Thieves could take whatever they wanted. There was no protection, no defense, no strength. That's what life looks like without self-control. There's no boundaries, no spiritual defense, no ability to stand when temptations come. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just call us to self-control. He equips us with it. And that's where we begin today. So to truly understand self-control, we have to see it not as a matter of personality or willpower, but as a fruit, a product of abiding in the Spirit. In Greek, the word used is enkratia, which literally means inner strength or mastery over self. This isn't about you white-knuckling your way through temptation. It's about surrendering to the Spirit so that He rules your appetites, your emotions, your thoughts, and your reactions. Let me say it like this. Self-control is Spirit control. It's the result of allowing the Holy Spirit to govern what your flesh used to dominate. And that's not something that you can fake. You can pretend to have joy. You can fake kindness, but you cannot fake self-control for long. Eventually, pressure exposes what's really in control of you. This is why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, for his mouth speaks from what which fills his heart." What fills your heart comes out of your habits. What rules your mind comes out of your decisions. And what controls your flesh reveals who's really Lord of your life. So here's the question. Are you ruled by your emotions? Or are you ruled by the Spirit? Are you dominated by impulse, or are you walking in alignment with heaven? Self-control starts with surrender. It doesn't begin with effort. It begins with giving God access. And some of us have given Him access to our Sundays, our worship playlists, maybe even our finances. But have you given Him access to your cravings, your schedule, your thought life, your screen time, your reactions when you're angry, the stuff that you eat when nobody's watching, the things that you say when you think you're justified. Because the Holy Spirit wants all of it, not to punish you, but to free you. Self-control is not about restriction. It's about liberation. It's about no longer being a slave to the flesh. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace." Grace doesn't mean permission to sin. Grace is the power not to. And the truth is, if you don't rule your flesh will rule you. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 27, when he says, "But I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Paul wasn't afraid of losing salvation. He was determined not to become a hypocrite. He knew that preaching without self-control is empty. You can shout in a church and fall in secret. You can lay hands on others while still bound by your own impulses. This is why deliverance isn't just about casting out demons. It's about walking in discipline. It's about crucifying the flesh daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's not a poetic call. That is a daily war cry. Some of you have been losing the same battle over and over, not because you're weak, but because you're not surrendered. You're trying to fight spiritual warfare with fleshly weapons. But self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, which means the power to overcome is already living inside of you. And if you'll let him lead, you will receive it. Let me challenge you with this. Self-control is not optional for the believer. It is the evidence of maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil." Trained. That's intentional. That's repetitive. That's discipline. You will not drift into self-control. You have to be led into it. And what does that look like? It looks like Daniel refusing the king's food because he had already resolved in his heart not to defile himself. It looks like Joseph running from Potiphar's wife, not entertaining temptation, not rationalizing the sin, but literally running. It looks like Jesus in the wilderness, hungry for 40 days, still choosing the word over appetite when Satan whispered, "Turn this stone into bread." If the Son of God modeled self-control in the face of hunger, temptation, and attack, how much more must we? But here's the beautiful part. Self-control doesn't just protect us. It makes room for more of God's glory in our lives. It prepares us to carry greater anointing without self-destruction. It equips us to steward influence, relationships, and callings without being driven by ego or emotion. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one who rules his spirit than one who captures a city." You can conquer a platform and still be defeated in your private life. You can go viral online and still be a slave in your mind. But the one who walks in self-control carries authority that heaven trusts and hell fears. This is why self-control is the final fruit in the list. Because without it, the others can be distorted, but with it, they are sustained. So what's the next step? Well, start by inviting the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 through 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let him show you the areas where the flesh still reigns, not to shame you, but to free you. Then choose daily to surrender. Wake up and declare, Holy Spirit, take over today. Govern my thoughts, my reactions, my habits. Let me not be led by impulses, but by your word." And finally, practice discipline. Fast. Pray. Choose silence over gossip. Choose prayer over panic. Choose scripture over screen time. The more you say yes to the Spirit, the easier it becomes to say no to the flesh. This isn't about behavior modifications. It's about heart transformation. And that begins with surrender. Now, as we launch into this final week of our Fruit of the Spirit series, let me leave you with this. Self-control isn't the end of the journey. It's the preparation for what's next. It's the fruit that positions you for increase. It's the gate that guards your calling. It's the evidence that you are fully His. Now, tomorrow, we will explore what it looks like to guard the gates, how self-control protects our minds, our mouth, our eyes, and emotions. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awaken to Deliver. We pray today's message has encouraged and equipped you to walk boldly with Christ. Want more content like this? Click the link tree in the podcast description. There you'll find access to all of Awakened Bible Ministries' social platforms, plus a link to Jeff's devotional book, 30 Days of Patience. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, we'd love for you to leave a rating and review. It helps more people find this message of freedom, faith, and encouragement. Awaken to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you'd like to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time gift through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly supporter through Patreon. All partnership options are available through the link tree. Together, your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Join us again tomorrow as we keep diving into God's Word together.